Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to Your World Today. Well, as I was introducing the guest earlier on, we will be speaking to William Shoki in a few moments with regards to South Africa falling apart. I think that's the general consensus when you speak to anybody. Everybody feels that tense calm in the air right now, the atmosphere as we see it, after all that's happened here in the last 2 weeks in KwaZulu-Natal as well as Gauteng. We're also seeing taxi violence in Cape Town at the moment, and it has left South Africans with I'm not going to say a bad taste in the mouth, but this feeling of being unsettled. And obviously, that's not a nice way to be living at the moment, but unfortunately, it is where we are. And now we've seen that, as I was saying when I started the show this afternoon, KZN has now been declared or been put under a state of disaster, which is going to obviously see how things go with regards to how things will be fixed. And this is going to be a huge challenge for South Africa, because obviously we know that the economic side of things is really, really being devastated already, an economy that has been devastated, and now further to this we see more devastation and obviously more money required, and already we have a population that needs that money more desperately than ever before. But let's now talk to William Shoki, and he is the author of an article titled South Africa is Falling Apart. He's also the staff writer at Africa is a Country, which is an independent online publication. Now, his article was also published in the New York Times. We will be speaking to him now with regards to how he's viewing South Africa at this particular moment. William, good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to your viewers.
Well, thank you for being with us this afternoon. And I'm sure when writing that article, definitely felt the way the rest of the South Africans are feeling right now, that unsettled, very not knowing where we're heading to feeling.
Absolutely. There is a tremendous sense of disquiet in the country. Mm-hmm. And I think no one really has any sense of what is still to come. But I think everyone is just standing at the edge, hoping it's not something worse.
Absolutely. So was the looting and destruction we witnessed a few weeks back really a true reflection of a rotting state of South Africa?
I think one can say yes. And I think there's two reasons for this. The first one is that the South African state has become synonymous with the ruling party, the African National Congress. So whenever there's any deep discord within the ANC, that also reflects on the country, because it destabilizes the ability of the country to function, because factions within the ANC are obviously competing for their interests, and as we saw in recent weeks, they're willing to do whatever they can in order to protect those interests. So the rot of the ANC then becomes the rot of the country. And I think related to that is that 27 years of ANC rule has not brought about any meaningful transformation for the majority of South African citizens. Conditions of poverty and inequality are extremely dire. And so the characteristics of the looting, which had a bit of a mass character of families who were trying to appropriate consumer goods for their own survival, I think is a testament to just how slowly things have progressed in South Africa. And of course, a lot of those inequalities, a lot of those tensions manifest in a very racialized way. So a lot of those tensions that we've seen and communal resentments, I think, has to do with the fact that 27 years into democracy, we still haven't built a country that works for everyone.
Absolutely. So the lack of action that we saw for those who instigated this insurrection haven't really been brought to task as well. What do you think about that? Where are we at as a country when it comes to looking at, I mean, this is something that has affected us on a really huge scale, and yet we're seeing the wheels grinding very slowly.
Absolutely. I mean, for one thing, the wheels of procedure and due process tend to grind very slowly. But I think the pace of slowness that we've seen much more accurately, I think, indicates an unwillingness from members of the African National Congress to deal the heavy hand of the law on the instigators, because those instigators are members of the ANC. Those instigators are people who can implicate many others in the patronage and the corruption that we've seen hollow out the capacity of the state. So I think that, once again, the country's becoming this plaything for the ANC and its factional battles. And so the rest of us suffer because higher-ups in the ANC, dare I say, including the president, are unwilling to deal their hand too heavily in case it backfires against their own very fragile protection of power.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the opposition, obviously, a weak opposition if you look at them, because there's the EFF that's saddled with their own scandals, and then the DA with their own. Does this make it easier for the ANC and those who are, sitting in positions where that allows them to carry on in these positions, doing whatever they see fit, looting state coffers or whatever it may be, the corruption that we've been seeing? Do you think that this allows them to carry on?
Absolutely. I think it provides a fundamental condition of possibility for it to happen, insofar as until there are political costs imposed on the ANC electorally, then they're going to have free rein, because it's never going to seriously jeopardize their ability to hold on to power. As you say, the EFF is a party that is saddled with its own scandals and internal contradictions, and the DA is a party which increasingly only protects very limited and narrow interests. And so one political party in South Africa can really speak to the majority and can really address the concerns of the majority of people, which have to do with very basic things such as service delivery, such as stamping out corruption so that the state is capable of implementing service delivery. And I think that the fact that no opposition party is able to speak to the masses and present themselves as able to govern, I think, is really tragic. And unless and until there is a political force that can do that, then we will see the ANC's internal discord have a profoundly damaging effect on the rest of the country. Mm-hmm.
Do you think someone like Herman Mashaba may be somebody who could actually bring about some sort of, I wouldn't say unity, but at least some sort of semblance of unity within the country, especially from a political point of view?
To be honest, I don't think so. I think what South Africans need to move away from is a style of political campaigning and organizing that places too much emphasis on leadership. I think we were all very excited about Ramaphosa when he began his tenure, because we viewed him to be a capable leader, and that applies to, I think, many South African political figures. But I think we're past the point of leadership being enough to unify South Africa. I think what is required is capacity. I think proving that you really have the ability as a party or some other political force to deliver. And I think what you need additionally is the right program. What are you going to promise to people? What are you going to deliver to people that is going to get them to buy onto what you present?
Yeah, definitely. I think the trust factor here has been diminished so badly that it's going to take somebody, a party or a group of people or even one person who's going to have a really strong ability to bring that about, bring back the trust that's so badly eroded in South Africa at the moment. Are we looking then at a point of no return, or is this situation redeemable?
I don't want to say we're looking at a point of no return. I think the situation is redeemable. One thing that I think is always encouraging in South Africa is that there are South Africans who are incredibly committed to the South African project and who are resilient despite the many challenges that we face. I think that what we need now is an answer from below. I think that the political class in its entirety is rotten, spent, and out of ideas. I think that the way we defeated apartheid, for example, which is probably the biggest challenge that our nation has had to face, is we did it through the people. We did it from mobilizing from below and not from dictating the way forward from the top. So I think what we need is to see that energy rejuvenated. What we need to see is people on the ground galvanized in order to address the challenges that we face as a country and to be mobilized collectively, because the last thing we need is further division, further sectarianism, and a further collapse into our own little bubbles. We need to get together and make the changes we want to realize happen.
Do you think also, you know, we've lost our image because South Africa's always been seen as that rainbow nation, and now we look like a broken rainbow with fragments lying all over?
I think to some extent we have. And rather than a bad thing, I think it's a good thing, because I think it allows us the opportunity to rebuild in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. I think that the fragmentation of the rainbow nation has shown how it ultimately was built off very shaky ground, insofar as it presented South Africa as a country that had arrived when there was really so much work that needed to happen prior to make the post-apartheid settlement one that really works for the majority of people. I think now that we've shattered that myth, we can pick up the pieces and we can say, well, how do we actually build something that is not just only symbolically resonating, but something that is materially addressing what people need in order to flourish, both individually and collectively. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes it's good to part with old identities if those identities don't serve you anymore.
Yes, definitely. Well, William, thank you. I think you know, you've looked at this from a perspective that many young people are also looking at, and not just young people, but South Africans basically are looking at what's happening right now. And there are lots of fears, there's lots of uncertainty, but I think we are a resilient bunch and we can come together, especially as many of us are very patriotic and want unity and peace in our country going forward for everybody. So I think that is what we need to use as our foundation.
Absolutely, I agree wholeheartedly. And there's a lot of pressure on the young generation, mm-hmm. of which I belong, in order to carry the baton forward. But I think it's possible, and I think it will happen, and we just have to have that faith. We can be cynical, we can be doubtful and skeptical, but ultimately, I think keeping the faith is crucial.
Well, there's lots of work ahead, and I think the young guns, as they would call them, have the shoulders for that. So we are going to hopefully see you guys come forward and obviously build this country again to its former glory.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Thank you for your time and all the best.
Same to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.